At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is up, fellas? Welcome back to Combos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. I literally went MIA the last 2 weeks. I was off traveling a very last minute, like impulsive trip to Japan with my siblings. It was really fun. And then I went to Mammoth. So I literally just went MIA on like YouTube and this podcast, which I very much apologize for. But we're back. We're back in action. Today's episode was so much fun with Allie Feller. She's the host of Allie on the Run podcast, which I'm sure a lot of you guys already listen to on the regular because it's a great running podcast. Today's episode was so fun. We talk about like the business behind the podcasting scene, how she got into it, how she got into running, some running hot takes, a lot of like different tangents in this episode. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Quick little shout out to one of my favorite sponsors, Track Club Atelier. It's presented by Pittsburgh Track Club. It's a new clothing brand that has modern and fun designs on loungewear staples for runners, but they're not just for runners. They're for all track athletes. They have cute illustration designs for throwers, jumpers, multi-events, and more. I have the white heptathlon crew neck. Obviously, I do not do the heptathlon, but seriously, like, the designs are so, so cute. And they update the shop with new items frequently, so fans of the sport can express themselves with items like shirts that say, "Running time trials won't keep families together," and totes that say, "You can go to hell, I'm not going to Eugene again." And you can find the shop at pittsburghtrackclub.com. It's also linked in the show notes. And you can use code EMMA15 in all caps to get 15% off your order. I highly recommend. Everything is so cute. Go check it out. The link is in the show notes. Now let's get straight into today's episode with Allie. All right, here with Allie. I'm sure most of you guys that listen to this podcast probably already listen to Allie's podcast as well. So I'm sure you're already familiar with her, but Allie, welcome to the show. Do you want to just like give us a little bit of a rundown of who you are, what you're about?
I absolutely do. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here and get to chat with a fellow badass podcaster, though that just sounds like I called myself badass. I was calling you badass.
Okay, but you also are badass, so.
Thank you so much. I am Allie Feller. I'm the host of the Allie on the Run show podcast. I am a race announcer. I announce at start and finish lines of races, including the Boston Marathon, New York City Marathon, all kinds of good stuff. I have a newsletter. I just talk about running all the time. Like, I somehow have made a career out of talking about running. I am a mom. I am a wife. I am a dog mom. And I live in New Hampshire with my family.
Nice. That's like a good breakdown. You are like very multifaceted. And I don't know how you handle it all because I feel like that's just a lot on your plate. So I give a lot of credit to you. You know, I can barely handle myself and I literally am responsible for me. I don't even have a dog. So.
Yeah, you're doing great. Also, I'm like 10 years older than you. I'm 37. So, oh, yeah. You know, we all have phases of life and there have been phases in my life when I have been all in on work because I am totally a workaholic. I love what I do. And so I do it a lot. And there have been phases of my life where certain things take a back seat. Like, there's no balance. Everyone wants to talk about balance. There's no balance. There's just seasons of when you prioritize different things and, you know, just doing my best. You should see my inbox. You should see the number of emails I haven't responded to and the number of people who are like, "Hey, Allie, just following up for the third time." And I'm like the ultimate inbox delinquent. So, you know, I'm not doing it all over here. Don't worry. Don't be fooled.
I like fully resonate with that though, because I'm the same way where like, yeah, it's like the following up for the third time type of email and it makes you feel like so guilty. But then I feel like everyone kind of does it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all the time that I let people like email me thrice in a row without replying. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes seasons of life, it gets busy. You just don't prioritize the emails.
It's hard. Yeah, and I hate emails. So
I think we all do, especially if you're like in a creative creative job. I think it's totally a little bit worse. But yeah. Okay, well, someone also said, do you not drink coffee? That's correct. My gosh.
I know. I feel like a fraud being here. I don't drink coffee, and that's for a few reasons. The main one is just that I've tried it like once. Like, my dad is a huge coffee drinker. So like growing up, our house every morning smelled like coffee until like 10 a.m. And I like coffee flavored things. I love coffee ice cream, but I tried my dad's coffee once and was like, no, don't like it, and never looked back. And I'm sure I could find coffee that's delicious and that I love, but I'm kind of just like, don't go there. Like, save the $4 a day or whatever, you know? I also have Crohn's disease, which gets my stomach going anyway. So I feel like coffee and I probably wouldn't mix, but I'm just telling myself, like, just don't do it.
Yeah. That's a fair, hey, that's
but
a fair
I support
point.
It. Like, I support your passion wholeheartedly. I love going to places like Dunkin'. I use their bathroom every day on my run. So I'm a big supporter of the coffee industry. In my
own way.
I
love that. I agree though. Like, some part of me deep down like wishes that I never like in college started drinking that coffee, because I don't think I would have like, I don't have an addiction per se. I just like enjoy it so much. But I can actually go days without it without like having a problem, because I think I just have like a lot of natural energy, whatever. But like, I just love the little routine, but I kind of wish I didn't start, because then I would have saved the $4 a day. And
it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, if it makes you happy, exactly. If it makes you happy, do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, people ask me all the time. So I work these races, and on race days, we have to be at the start usually at like around 5 a.m. It's usually between 5 and 6. And people are always shocked when they find out, because everyone is just chugging coffee on those mornings. Like, everyone working at the races is just like injected into my veins. And people always offer like, Allie, do you want coffee? And I'm like, no, I don't drink coffee. And you would think that I just told them like, no, I actually have like 65 toes or something super weird. And they can't understand. And I'm like, do you see how much energy I have right now at 5 a.m. just like bottled up and ready to go? Can you imagine more of this? And then they're like, oh yeah, good point. Pop down. So
yeah. Hey, I think that's a flex. Like that is a big flex that you have that much energy and you don't need the coffee. Cause some people
then
like,
I do crash.
Really struggle. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But even if you do have coffee, you crash eventually, especially if you're up at 5 a.m. working, you know.
We're all doing our best.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, I kind of like with this episode, I feel like I want to get into a bit of like the business elements of it too, because I'm just curious from a personal standpoint. But I know, especially as like in a female in the running media scene, there's just like not that many women. I mean, it's becoming more prevalent, I think, to have women running media, but I think just like getting your perspective of someone that's been in it for a while, I think that'd be interesting. But I guess like, what started you in like the running world? Like, were you a runner beforehand, before you got into the media part, or how did that go about?
Yeah, kind of. They go hand in hand. Not the podcast that came later, but I was not a runner growing up. I was a dancer. Running was the punishment that you did if you were like late or forgot your jazz shoes or whatever. Actively avoided it. I didn't start running until I had moved to New York City after graduating from college. And my roommate, who I found on Craigslist, she was a runner. And I was working in media, working in magazine publishing, making $30,000 a year. Definitely could not afford a gym. I couldn't afford anything living in New York City, as you know. So she was like, oh, running, all you need is a pair of sneakers. And I was like, okay, but like the good ones are kind of expensive. And then I'm going to get the GPS watch. And then I'm going to get like the whole you just need sneakers thing. Come on, we've managed to overcomplicate this.
Yeah.
But it got me out the door and I was hooked. I liked that I could really easily measure my progress. Like, I would run from one lamppost to the next, and then I would walk a lamppost and just keep adding lampposts on. And so as I started running more, I've always been a writer, and that's what I was doing for work. I was working for a dance magazine as a writer and editor. And I was just like, but I only want to talk about running. Like, running is my whole life now. I'm obsessed. And so I started a running blog, as one does in 2010. Everyone had a running blog. And so I started mine, called it Allie on the Run. and would just write a ton every day about my daily run. And then I trained for my first marathon. And when I did that, the blog really picked up quite a bit, got a bit of a following. So that was always my little outlet where I could write about running, but it wasn't a job. It wasn't something I ever made money off of. I did like maybe one sponsored post ever. And they probably paid me like $50. And I was like, oh my God, that's so generous. That's so nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. You know, I'll pay you. I'm just so grateful for the opportunity. So I did that. And then as I was sort of phasing out my time working at the magazine I was at, I was writing more for health and wellness and running publications. So I started writing for Runner's World and Women's Running and Self, Shape, Fitness, Well and Good. Then I went full-time freelance. And then I was like, I think I want to start a podcast. And the reason for that was we had moved out of New York City, me, my husband, and our dog. And I didn't have Central Park every morning and I didn't have my running buddies. And so I was lonely and I discovered podcasts and I really liked running to podcasts. It was like running with friends. It was the next best thing. And it was kind of great because I didn't have to talk back, which sometimes when you're running, talking back is a little bit hard. So yeah. I fell in love with podcasts and it was just a case of me being like, not arrogant, but like, I could do that. Like, why not me kind of thing?
And yeah. It's more of like, I think it's more of a delusion where it's like, I could do that easily, but it's like,
yeah,
it's not that far of a reach, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I have a background in journalism. I love interviewing people. I am obsessively curious. And that's a nice way of saying I'm really nosy. And so I was like, I could do that. And I wasn't into professional running at the time. I could have maybe named five professional runners. My goal was I was just going to interview my friends. Like I had a lot of running friends. I still knew a lot of people from the running blogging scene, which was totally a thing. So I was just going to talk to them. And I started doing it as a hobby. I did it as a hobby for a year before I took on any sponsors. Like that wasn't just like with the blog, the goal was not for this to be a job. It wasn't, I'm going to work in the running industry. I was really happy as a freelance writer. And then the shift started to happen. I took on sponsors and I liked the podcast more and I was spending more time on it. And then I did my first live show and that was like a drug. I was like, this is so fun. Like an audience of people listening to me talk about running. Like what's better than that? So yeah, it just started snowballing and I started getting more interested in professional running. I started inviting professional runners on the show and I was really shocked that people said yes. I think it was because like there was nothing special or unique about my show. I think I just started it at the right time, which was February 2017. And so I got in. I was certainly not one of the first, but I got in on the earlier side compared to starting one in 2023. And so I think that worked to my advantage. And over time, I've just built relationships with athletes, with agents, with industry people. And yeah, I mean, like you heard earlier, have just more immersed myself in this industry with race announcing and just I just don't shut up. I just never like, listen to me right now. I'm just talking so much about running. I can't stop.
Hey, I get it. I feel like yours and my like path into media is kind of similar. It's just like very gradual. Like it was never like something popped off. Like you see with TikTok and stuff nowadays, like people just like become famous overnight, or whatever. And not saying that we're like famous, but in the running world, you know, we're well known in the media space, whatever, but it was just like such like a slow progression and like just branching out into different things and stuff. And I feel like that's what people, I don't know, a lot of the time, like they don't really see, I feel like they just see the end result, totally. Whatever. And like, yeah. Especially with the money thing, like you said, where you did it for a hobby for a year, just cause like you loved it. And that's the other thing. I feel like a lot of people just want to make money right away. And it just like the money doesn't really come right away. Like you just have to really love what you're doing.
Yeah. And a lot of money, like people who are just starting out, empower to them, like good for them. They're cashing in, but like, there's a lot of people who are starting things now and like go viral and can right away charge a ton of money. And there is a little part of me that's like, man, I have been doing this for a while and I have a lot of integrity. Like I feel and know in my heart that I've done it the right way. I've been really consistent in putting out episodes, in working on the quality of the show, in raising my rates gradually over time in a way. And when I say raising my rates, like what I charge for sponsorship, gradually raising them in a way that makes sense and reflects the downloads and the numbers behind the show. So I'm really proud of what I've built. I don't often take a step back and actually reflect on that. But yeah, I think it's great if you come into media and you go viral for something and you can cash in and you build that into a career. Like I support it. If you're happy, if you're doing good work, I'm all for that. And I am a little proud that I've been doing it for a long time, just chipping away, working hard, growing the following over time. And I'm at a point now where I'm like, I'm not trying to grow the show. I'm not like, we need more listeners. We need more downloads. Like, I'm pumped about the community that I have right now. I had a post on Instagram that, like, I don't know what's the definition of going viral, but like it got more attention than I was comfortable with. Like for me on Instagram, a normal post gets between like maybe 1,000 to 3,000 likes. And this one got like almost 70,000 and it was terrifying and I hated it. And I was like, no, I don't want this. I don't want this. And got an influx of new followers and an influx of new podcast listeners. And I was very like, no. Like, not that I don't want you here, but like, we've got a good thing going. We've got like a great crew and a great community. And I was very nervous about that. I didn't enjoy it. I don't want to go viral. I don't want to be famous. I'm very happy in my niche.
I completely relate to that, because once you open your floodgates to something like that, like if you go viral overnight, you just get so many different personalities that come in and have no idea of your background, whatever, of anything. And it's like, you almost feel like you have to adjust to these new people, whatever, totally. But you're like, but I like what I'm doing. And it's like, I feel like this sounds bad to like a normal person, because like a lot of people just want to go viral, whatever, because a lot of good comes out of it too. But I think, like you said, if you've been chipping away for a long time and then all of a sudden, I don't know, you just have to adjust like immediately, I guess, if you have that many followers come in. Yeah. And it would make me uncomfortable as well. And
yeah, like, it was scary.
Yeah. And what you said about like, you don't really care to like be famous or just like get, obviously, like in terms of like finances and stuff, it makes sense to get more listeners, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I'm the same way where it's like, now I feel like because we've chipped away at it for so long, whatever, I have like such a good foundation that like, I feel like I'm on cruise control almost, which is, it's such a nice place to be, because after like grinding for many years or whatever, and just like being anxious about like, I don't know, where's your money going to come from? Like freelance stuff, whatever, just being like stable and having a good foundation of followers. Like I am very content, but then part of me feels guilty too, where it's like, shouldn't I just be reaching for more? Because that's like what everyone wants technically. But I don't know. It's just like a weird position to be in, but I think we have similar viewpoints where it's like, all you kind of need is like your good base, whatever. And a lot of the time that's like very solid and stuff.
Yeah. And seasons of life. I feel the same right now. Podcast is kind of runs itself almost. Like I book the guests and I interview them, but like we've got a smooth operation right now. I'm putting energy into other places and that might change in a few months. I might, you know, cycle that, less live events, more focus on a new series on the podcast or something. You know, it's part of the joy. There's a lot of great and challenging things about working for yourself, but having the flexibility to chase my own creativity and like when something excites me to dive into that, I used to fight it a little bit and be like, no, I should do X, Y, or Z, like do the safe thing. And now I'm like, F it, man. This is fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think that comes along with stability too, where it's like, you don't necessarily have to do the safe thing, that you're like guaranteed to get listens, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then makes it a lot better, like creatively, I think, to just focus on what you want to do. I'm curious though, because like you've been, I mean, February 2017, like that's really early in my opinion for podcasting before it became like popular. And that's like a long time of doing podcasts in like the same, I guess, niche. I mean, now you've obviously been able to interview like lots of people from different walks of life in terms of the running world. But have you ever had times where you're like, I can't do this anymore? Like you're burnt out at all?
This is so bad, but no.
Why is that bad? I feel like that's great. That's
because I think people want me to be like, yeah, I get burnt out and this is my self-care routine. But I'm like, no, I'm still loving this. I get burnt out on just working a lot sometimes, or I get not even that, because, you know, I can step back if I need to. I have my hands in a lot of things and I need more help. And I've been saying for years, I'm going to hire people. And then, you know, more emails come in and I get overwhelmed, whatever. Like that's my downfall. That is for sure the biggest thing holding me back right now. But in terms of getting burnt out, no, there's still so many stories that I haven't heard, that I haven't gotten to share, that I haven't told. There are still so many guests I have not gotten on the show that I want to. It's exciting. I like it a lot.
Okay, that's so ideal though. That's like refreshing, because I feel like a lot of people answer yes, you know? And even me, I feel like there's been times where I'm just like, I don't know. Like in terms of like, I mean,
all like social media stuff that I do, whatever. But I think also that comes the flexibility with being able to work on other things. Like if I'm not really enjoying the podcast as much anymore, like I still end up doing it, but I put more effort into like other areas of my job, which is nice. But it is refreshing to hear someone like you say, like you genuinely love it and stuff. Yeah. I'm curious though, because you have like so many different guests, like how do you find them? Other than like the elite runners, because like the elite runners is like you see a top race result and there you go, you got a guest in line. But
yeah, when it comes to the pros, that's, you know, they're out there, they're easy. We see who has the compelling story or who we want to hear more from or who we want to get a different angle from, right? I'm at a point, I'm more than 600 episodes in. So I love having repeat guests. I love following up, being invested in their journeys, like really getting to know them. And then I think it's fun for the listeners who get to really cheer for them on race day because they feel like they know them. That's like the best compliment that I get is when people were like, 2 years ago, I had never heard of track and field. And now I'm planning my Saturday around the NBC viewing schedule because, oh my gosh, I need to see what Emma Coburn does. Like that's the best. I love that. The more everyday runner guests, that for me is fun. I get a lot of pitches. I get a lot of suggestions and I scroll a lot for better or worse. I scroll, I look on Instagram. I am just seeing what excites me. Who are people talking about? It helps when other people share stories. I subscribe to lots of podcasts. I subscribe to lots of newsletters. I'm very much entrenched in the running community. And for me, the pros are like a small piece of that, but it's the people that I'm racing with. Like I wasn't a runner until I was in my 20s. I have never run competitively in the sense that I am trying to place overall or even in my age group, right? Like I am proud of the running that I do, and that's kind of the extent of it. So I like talking to runners who maybe have similar stories to mine or runners who are starting running in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s. Like it's so cheesy, but everyone starts running for a reason. And I'm just really obsessed with learning what those reasons are. And like 50% of them are breakups.
Oh my gosh. Hey, I get it. I get it. Like when I go through, like a breakup situation, I completely like, I use the term like overexercise to fill the void. Like that's my like little thing. It's just like, I immerse myself into running immediately after because I just like, it's the only thing that like calms my mind in terms of that and like distracts me. So like, hey, I get it. The physical pain, it like masks the emotional pain.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, I also get like the, I don't know. It's nice to have other people's perspectives outside of like the elite running world because there's only so many elites, you know, or people that are even training like that young to become an elite runner that like, I don't know, are watching these people's stories. Like the majority of runners don't start running, like you said, until your 20s, whatever, as like a hobby, whatever. Maybe they join that like random run club and they start getting into running and racing and stuff. And that to me, I think at this point in my life, like after being in the elite running world for so long, like I really genuinely like hearing their stories, I think more than the elites a lot of the time, because the elite running path, like a lot of it is the same, like to get into it and stuff. It's like you run in high school, you were pretty good in high school, then you go D1 and then you go through the D1 program, whatever, you're pretty good. Then you get a contract out of college, you join a team, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You do one event, maybe like on the track, and then you return to the roads, and then you become an elite marathoner, and there you go. Like that's
exactly.
And I love it. Like, obviously I relate to, I mean, maybe not the contract and stuff after, but it's like, I don't know. I understand exactly what that path is, but I think it's so much more, I don't know, exciting to hear people that like discover it for the first time. Like you said, like running from one lamppost to the next, like that's just so different from my experience, that I find it like really interesting and very cool that like someone can get into running like later in life, because I don't really even know what that looks like. So it's just like a unique experience. And I think what you do a good job is like having those people on the podcast, because it relates to so many more people than the elites relate to. Yeah. So I think people just probably find a lot of comfort in that and like excitement. Do people like listen to those episodes like the same amount as the elites, or do you
see it depends? The downloads are so interesting. So, I mean, relatively consistent across the board, right? Like in the first 24 hours that an episode comes out, the downloads are relatively consistent. But then you see which ones are like getting shared and which ones are getting hyped beyond the usual, like the rabid subscribers who listen the day it comes out, which is interesting. There are certain people that are just podcast gold, right? Like there are.
Okay. Can you name a few?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you the three that I consider podcast.
Because I feel like I know what some of the people that you're going to say, but I'm curious.
Okay. Then you have to share yours too.
Okay.
Okay. Kira D'Amato.
I have not had her on, but I know she's that you have her on a lot, and yeah. She seems very cool.
She's a blast. And as many times as I've had her on, every conversation is different because she's just a riot and she's fun and she can go deep. Like, she's relatable. She picked up running, not picked up, but like got serious again later in life. So she's a mom. She's podcast gold. Any episode with Kira, spike in the downloads. Molly Seidel.
Yeah, no surprise exactly. There. That was my number one.
That, yeah. Because Molly hits on everyone. She's funny. So I just said Molly hits on everyone. I meant like Molly hits all the.
Yeah. Everyone has a little bit of a soft spot. She relates to everyone.
Exactly. It's appealing to everyone in that you get the, like, you get the rabid subscribers who are listening no matter what, and they love Molly. You get people who listen to lots of running podcasts and know her story, so they want to hear more from her. Then you get the whole, like, let's run sector, which is fun. You pull them in because they need to know what Molly's talking about. And they're not going to come back for later episodes, but they're going to come listen to Molly. And I'm like, I'll take your downloads.
I don't even need the comments.
Message boards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Molly, podcast gold, and Colleen Quigley.
Mm-hmm.
Colleen has such a rabid fan base of young runners who just love to hear from her. I've only had her on twice, but she comes to mind because I had her on 2 weeks ago. I believe it was the same week that I had Chelsea Clinton on the show. And I thought, like, Chelsea's just going to crush the downloads because that's kind of fascinating. And it wasn't like the most interesting episode. There's a lot she can't talk about. And I only had a short amount of time with her. Colleen blew her out of the water. Like, I just checked right before this call because I was like, I feel like I should like know what's going on behind the scenes before I talk to Emma. And Colleen Quigley, killing it.
There we always. Go.
Who are yours? Who are you going to say? Molly.
Well, Molly's definitely like a good one. I mean, even before I had her on, like the amount of requests I had for her to be on the show was insane. And her sister too, Izzy. I don't know if you've ever talked to her, but she's really cool too.
Oh,
and she did pretty well. And I mean, in terms of downloads, but also like just the conversation was really good because I don't know. We have a lot in common as well.
I listened.
What? Oh, you listened?
I tuned in. Of course I did.
There we go.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for the download.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anytime.
Another one is Lydia Keating. I don't know if you know her. She's like a TikToker. Yeah,
of course I know her. And I've listened to your episodes. I subscribe to your show, Emma. I'm a listener.
Okay, but
I'm a fan.
See, like me personally, this is bad, but like I don't listen to podcasts. So I'm just like not a podcast listener. I wish I was. Like I wish I ran to podcasts. Because like you said, it is like two people talking. And like it's like friends or whatever in your ear. But like especially when I'm running, like I just need like blaring music in my ears with like no pauses because I don't want to hear my breath.
Oh, well, I'm that with, if I'm doing a workout, I want music. Like if I'm working hard, I need to just drown myself out. Lately, I've been running to the Top Gun theme song, which has really been getting me going.
Okay.
I know, I'm surprised as you are, but here we are. But when I'm doing like easy runs or long runs, especially, I'm marathon training right now, so I'm doing longer runs. I can't have like oomph the whole time. I need to mix it up.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think you and I are very different. Like I literally, there was a long run I did a couple of weeks ago. It was like 10 miles. I mean, it was pretty slow, but like, so it was like, I was out there for a long period of time. I'm not kidding. I listened to like hardcore dubstep the entire time. So like, there was like, it was like genuinely like, like to the extreme. And even when I was running,
about
like,
you.
I was like, this is a little excessive. And I think it's like making my heart rate higher than it should be. But I like need it just to like, you know, drown out the thoughts and I don't want to hear myself talk.
I get that. And I was like that when I started running.
Yeah.
Until I found podcasts. And now I just find the time goes faster. Just like running with friends, it goes faster. If I'm listening to music, I know exactly how many songs I've listened to. And I estimate that each song is like around 3.5 minutes. And so I'm like, I got to listen to 3 songs just to get through a mile. Like, I don't know. I can spiral a bit with that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And a lot of people listen to podcasts while running.
God bless them. Thank you so much for your service.
The Lydia thing, I think people her on my podcast. First of all, we have so much to talk about. Like, I mean, if you listen,
yeah,
to the episode,
I listened. I know. I tune in.
I know.
I'm here for it.
We talk about so much random stuff, and like literally, when I have, I mean, we're friends in real life. Like, we, whenever we cross paths, which is rare, but we hang out in person, so it's like we're actually friends. But and when we like do the show, whatever, when we hang up the like, or when I stop the recording, whatever, we talk for 2 more hours afterwards. Yeah. Which you could probably tell by just how the episode is, because there's just like so much random stuff and whatever. And I think her personality online is like very similar to mine. So I think people just like to listen to us chat. I don't know.
Yeah, I do. I almost reached out to you. I forget if it was the first time you had her on or the more recent time. And I was like, I feel like I want to like reach out to both of them and just be like, you're doing great. So I forget which one, but you were both talking about like kind of what, floundering isn't the best word, but I think you were feeling a little bit burnt out at the time or just overwhelmed. And you were talking about like the comments and hearing from people and beating yourself up if you don't have a new video all the time. And like, as a creator, I so get that. And I was like, as your elder, I just want to reach out and be like, you're both doing great. Keep going. Take care of yourselves. We're here.
Yeah. I remember there's one episode where it was like, I don't think it was like negative. I think it was just like real. Like, I think we were both just like not doing our best. And again, like then we talked for 2 hours afterwards about stuff. So I think, yeah, but I appreciate it. I mean, it's like, I know deep down, I think we just both have like kind of imposter syndrome. Like, I know deep down, like we're doing a good job, but it's just hard, you know, being self-employed. There's just, you can spiral pretty easily in your own brain.
Oh, I spiral every day. I put it on my to-do list. I'm like, at what time today will I go into my spiral? I was talking to my husband about that this morning. I was like, my spiral wasn't until like 9:30 last night when I was going to bed. I was like, we had a pretty good day. And then wasn't until I laid in bed all relaxed that I got a text message that just sent me. So it happens.
It happens to all of us. Yeah. Okay. Totally. Do you like the part of like, because now you're basically, I don't know if you would consider yourself an influencer, but like you have like your own little brand of your own personal life and stuff on the internet. Did you ever see that like happening? And do you like that element of it?
It's fine. Yeah. I love sharing. I love connecting with people. So that's always been my thing. I am not someone who looks at my grid and is like, okay, I posted a pink picture yesterday and a red one today. So now for my grid to look like, no,
me neither.
I have never changed anything about the way that I live for it to look a certain way on Instagram. Like, I just, that's not me. And I do share a lot, and that's my choice. And I love that. I love connecting with people. I love hearing from people. Having done this for a while now, like, there are people that I'll meet in real life and they'll be like, oh, I follow you. You DM'd me about whatever. And I'm like, okay, Jen, like, what's your Instagram name? And she's like, it's runswithcookies302. I'm like, oh my God, it's you. Like, I love that. I love that connection. So the thing with being an influencer, which I'm fine with that term. People love to get super pissed at the word influencer. It's like, calm down. I have learned to see that as a privilege. Mostly just over the past couple of years. Like, I think the first time I thought of myself as an influencer was in 2020 with both the pandemic of being like, not only do I want to make good choices for my family right now, but people are watching. And this was like early pandemic when it was like, if you smiled for a picture in your own home alone without a mask on, people were like, or like the other side, it, you know, like everyone was watching everything. Tensions were heightened. And then of course, when Ahmaud Arbery was killed and George Floyd, and we saw this huge racial awakening among white people primarily, right? Everyone else knew it was going on. It was like us white people that were like, wait, what's happening? Yeah. And I say that as like that person. That was big for me in just learning a lot about being more aware and being more aware of how certain things are perceived. One of my probably weaknesses is that I don't think before I speak most of the time. Like, I say what's on my mind and I don't think about how my words are going to impact people, which is terrible.
That's like scary for a podcast as well.
I know. But I'm in control. Yeah, but I'm in control of the edit button. So it's okay.
Yeah, but live shows, that's a little different.
Yeah, those are fun. But it's like, I've had to, it just makes me want to be a better person. Much like in the way that we say becoming a parent, someone's always watching. It's like, that's kind of the same thing with being online. And I choose however much I want to share. I think the hardest thing is that people think I share everything because I do share really honestly all the time, because why wouldn't I? Like, I learned at a young age, lying is really hard because you have to remember your lies. It's really easier to just like be yourself and tell the truth. And with that comes responsibility. With that comes the understanding that people will think they really know you. They think they know everything about you. I do a listener survey for the show at the end of every year. And one of the things that I ask is like, where can I improve? And it's like, why do I do that? But I do.
Oh.
And I hire someone to read these for me. And she summarizes. That way I'm not reading every single thing. But of course, I'll go in there and I'm like, I'm just going to read a few. I'll just read a few.
I would have to book out like a whole day of spiraling.
It's so bad. And I always do it when I'm already having a bad day. And it's, of course,
because it's like self-sabotage. You just like want to make it a little worse.
Totally. I'm like, I can handle this today. It's fine. And someone sent in a comment that was like, I could tell you were between therapists this year. Cause at one point I shared that I was like switching a therapist. I was like, yeah, mine doesn't have her out of state license anymore. So I'm switching. And as soon as I saw that, it was a long comment. I didn't read the rest of it, but I was just like, that's so bitchy. Like, so you know, probably better than I do being out there and sharing. You have to know that people will love you or you're just not for them. And some people will say, she's not for me, and they'll walk away. And other people will say, she's not for me, and I want to make her life hell from my basement. And that's their prerogative, I guess. It sucks. It doesn't make it easier. I've got like the thinnest skin you've ever seen, but you know, it's part of it.
Yeah. I think you grow thicker skin over time as well, because you just become a little bit more numb to it. Because I don't really think I'd have that thin of skin. Like, I'm pretty, like, I'm not the most sensitive person in the world in terms of, like, I don't know, in my life. But I don't think anyone really prepares you to deal with, like, the hate that you get on the internet. Not saying that I don't think you and I get that much hate considering, like, the general population of social media people. But because we're not very, like, controversial and don't really talk about, like, controversial things.
Should we? Let's try right now.
No, I like literally can't. Like, I literally run in the other direction. I don't know. I'm not good. I'm not just like, I don't know. I just don't really have that strong opinions about things. So I think when I see people arguing, I like flee in the other direction.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk fight or flight. I'm like, even this morning. So there's been like all this stuff going on with our daughter's school. And it's like, there's so much drama. And this morning I was like, this is what I'm going to say. When I see this person, I was like, this is what I'm going to say. And my husband just like looked at me and I was like, I know we both know I'm not actually going to say that I'm just going to smile and be like, have a good day. But I want you to know what I want to say.
Yeah.
You
need to make it known like what you want internally to say to people. But then in the moment, like I freeze up and I say,
I like smile and I'm like, oh my God, I love your outfit. Where did you get it?
Yeah. Someone insults me and I'm like, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, really, I like love constructive criticism.
Yeah. Thank you so much for noticing me.
Yeah, exactly. What's like, do you think that therapist one was like the meanest comment that you've ever received? Or like, do you have one that sticks out to you?
Oh God, no, that is not even close to being the meanest.
Yeah, I know.
No, I mean, there are entire places on the internet just dedicated to being mean to people. And I don't go to those places, but I used to, and I've seen them. It's why I don't have Google alerts for my own name, because I don't want to see anything bad.
I didn't even know that was a thing, and I'm definitely not subscribing to a Google alert.
Yeah, no, I don't Google myself. A couple weeks ago, someone was like, oh my God, I saw that they wrote about you in Cosmo. And I was like, what? Because I don't know. Like,
that's cool though.
Yeah, it was like podcasts to help you live a better life. And I was like, oh, that's generous. But I didn't know. And it was like from November too. It was, you know, it was a repost that they saw come up again. I don't want to see it. I have to have boundaries to some extent. People have said way worse things. I used to read all of it back when I started my blog, not since I've had the podcast, but, my all-time favorite hater comment was someone after my husband and I went on our honeymoon. We got married in 2015 and we went on a honeymoon. We went to Kenya. It was like my ultimate dream to go on safari, and we did it. And the people on the internet had a field day with this, and someone went through the work of pricing out, because I wrote a blog recap about like where we went and where we stayed and all that, and someone priced out, like did the math, priced out how much each resort was, looked it up. And in the end, they were like, I added this all up. I cannot believe Allie and Brian just spent whatever, like, I don't know what they said, like $18,000 to go on a trip. And I was like, you just spent all that time. If you had just asked, I would have told you how much it costs. It's not a secret. Also, good for us. We work really hard and we went on an awesome trip that was the trip of a lifetime and was a dream. Bye. And that to me was such a lesson. I was like, people will hate you. Like, people who want to hate you are going to hate you. So that's like my favorite hater comment. And then people just were like, oh my God, that's so stupid. Give that money to charity. And I was like, dude, we give a lot to charity. Like, we both give a lot to charity. We volunteer a lot. We're good people. We're also allowed to take a vacation with our own money. Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
That I didn't is cry so over funny.
That one. It was funny.
Like you said, though, like, if someone wants to hate you, they will find any reason to hate
right.
you.
Right.
And make it known if they want to make it known.
This is also, okay, this is like a sick thing that I do sometimes. Okay. Should I admit this? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So sometimes when I need a reminder that, like, some people are just going to dislike you, I will go and look up podcasts that I listen to, not running ones, but like bigger ones, like Girls Gotta Eat, right? Like big popular ones. And I will go to their podcasts and I will look at their reviews and I will sort by most critical, because you can sort by like best, most popular, most critical. I sort by most critical. So it gives me only the 1-star reviews. And I read the meanest things that people are saying about people that I like. And I'm like, this is insane. Like, this is so unfounded. How can you say that? Like, these people are funny and they're great. And that to me is such a good reminder. And I know that's like a kind of a sick thing, that like a sick practice and probably not healthy, but it reminds me that you're not for everyone. Like,
that's not that sick. I think yeah, that's
your, I recommend it then.
Yeah.
But don't read mine.
Yeah. No one read mine. No one go and read my 1-stars.
Yeah.
I will say I do get a little hurt when I get like a 1-star review.
Me too.
I haven't gotten that many, because like, it's not like I have like, you know, yeah, tens of thousands of reviews like these other podcasts, whatever.
But anytime every I get, now and then,
anytime I get like a 3-star, I'm like, oh, I need to improve.
Yeah, I know. It's not fun.
The meanest, it's kind of like the same thing, like the most like interesting, or like the, I think the farthest that someone's gone to like be mean, I guess, in my, this isn't a YouTube comment. Someone legit wrote a 5-paragraph essay. This is like back in like 2019. So it was like 1 year after I graduated college. I had so much change within that year, because it's like I quit running, whatever. I was really burnt out. I was just like dealing with a lot of like personal issues, whatever. But this person wrote out a 5-paragraph essay of everything I've ever quit in my life in my YouTube comments. And I was like, wow, this guy like really like personally like hates me. And he's done like research to figure out like why he hates me, because I quit everything. Apparently I'm a failure and loser.
Yeah. At the ripe age of 21, you should have.
No, literally I was 22 years old and I was like, yeah, okay, sue me. I like literally, and it was like that time period was like, I think it hurt me the most, because it's like, I did already kind of feel like a failure, because I like stopped running a little bit early because I was so burnt out. But then it's like, I have to be rational with myself and realize that it's like, it's not like I quit everything in my life. I literally, like, the only thing I've been quitting was that, like, year, because I was just making a lot of changes after college. Like,
and even anyway, if you did quit a lot of things, why does this random dude care?
Who cares? It doesn't matter.
What's but, happening?
Like, I will always remember that one, because it was just, like, so thorough with the research. It's, like, the same thing. I'm like, wow, you'd be like, thank you for paying my rent with your YouTube view. Like,
okay, so you remember that. Can you quote any of your best comments? Because you've received tens or hundreds of thousands of praiseworthy comments. Can you quote any of those verbatim?
Should say yes.
I know that. No, this is, I'm the same way. I can quote anything negative anyone said to me, but I get amazing feedback every single day that I just like brush off. Why do I put way more stake in the one negative than
everyone
the
does.
Tons? I know. We're like textbook right here.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, I think especially the in-person interactions that I have, like, I do remember some of those. Like, I definitely remember,
oh,
like,
for
those.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just different than having, I mean, it would be like if someone came up to you and started reciting 5-paragraph essay of what they did not like about you. Like, you'd probably remember that for the rest of your life, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, like, interesting.
Maybe I'll start a group text for all the running podcasters. And it's like, hey, This is a safe space for you to post the one-star reviews that people leave you, the mean tweets. Like, we're all here to support each other. Let's just laugh this off, Jimmy Kimmel style.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think we just all, I think we've all gotten a little bit better on it now that we've just been more years into it and stuff.
Yeah. The internet is not always a warm, fuzzy place.
No, but that. I still enjoy it. You know, it just like adds a little spice to my life.
Yeah. It's as spicy as we get.
Yeah, exactly.
Running from confrontation.
Literally, like, in terms of, like, the grand scheme of the internet, like, we are the least spicy, like, people.
Oh, yeah, no. I run from controversy.
A little break in the show to talk about one of my favorite sponsors ever, Gooder. Gooder makes $25 active sunglasses that don't slip, don't bounce, and are 100% polarized. The fact that they're $25 and 100% polarized, they are the best sunglasses on the market. I'm telling you guys right now, I wear them all the time. I wear them when I'm running, when I'm biking, when I'm walking around. They're also just like very stylish. They have a bunch of cool colors and different styles to choose from. My favorite to run in are probably the Wrap G's. They're a little bit bigger of a model because they're made for cycling, but I'm like literally obsessed with them. And then basically any of their running models I also wear just like out and about because they're just very stylish. And also I'm like very particular about what glasses I'm able to wear while I'm running because a lot of them, you know, they bounce all over your head. But the good thing about Gooders, and it's probably why you see a bunch of people wearing them all the time, is because they don't slip or bounce at all. It is literally the best. I'm a heavy sweater and summer, well, maybe not summer, but spring is approaching very quickly. Like, I'm gonna be very sweaty on my runs, and I still am very sweaty on my runs, even in the winter, but they are very easy to clean, which is something that I need because literally I need like windshield wipers on the insides of my sunglasses sometimes because literally my like eyebrows sweat a lot. Does that sound kind of gross? Whatever. Doesn't matter because they're very easy to clean. I'm sure someone that you know already owns a pair of Gooders. They're literally the best. And if you want to support the show and pick up a pair, Gooder is giving Convos Over Cold Brew listeners free shipping on your first order. I threw a link in the show notes and you can also just see me like on Instagram all the time wearing them and on YouTube. You can go to gooder.com/coldbrew to get free shipping. Gooder also offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction, so go check them out. Find your pair at gooder.com/coldbrew and get free shipping. Now let's get back into today's episode with Allie.
What other podcasts like do you listen to? Obviously, like, Girls Gotta Eat, but like what other running ones do you listen to?
Oh, all of them. Honestly, I subscribe to pretty much all of them because it's good to see what everyone's up to.
Yeah.
You know, if everyone has the same person on one week, that's good to know. You never really know ahead of time, which is tough. So yeah, I subscribe to like all of them. I've been loving Dez and Kara's podcast. That's got to be at the top of the list right now. Those two are so fun together. And it's just like a breath of fresh air in a space where most of us are doing interview style shows. And so definitely enjoying their dialogue. And then in terms of running ones, I subscribe to like all of them, but when I'm actually listening, I listen to kind of more pop culture-y stuff. I love Be There in Five. That's a fun one. It's a solo show. Her episodes are like 2 hours long, so they're great for long runs. She's funny. I don't think there's any show that I obsessively listen to every single episode. It's a lot of picking and choosing. If I feel like learning, I like Maintenance Phase. That's a fun one. Pop culture-y, zeitgeisty stuff is fun.
Nice.
Depends on my mood. Today I listened to an episode of Celebrity Memoir Book Club where they had a woman, they were reviewing a woman's book who used to be a part of the Mormon church. And that is very interesting to me. So
there are so many little niches of podcasting. Wow.
So many. I know. Look at us all making careers here.
Well, that's what like blows my mind sometimes is like that all these people, a lot of them are making like full-time livings off of all this. And like mm-hmm. the money's there if you want to do it. It's just like crazy like how many people make podcasts and are able to make a full-time living off of it.
Yeah. I mean, I spend every day fully convinced that this is a bubble that will pop any day now. I feel like my career is fleeting. I don't know. Everyone's like, no, that's not true. But I live in a fear-based mind where I'm convinced that every day I've peaked and I'm on my way down and I'm phasing out and I'm aging out.
You and I are the same person. I'm like,
yeah, but you're young. You're just getting, no. Oh my God. You're young.
But I say that I've said that literally every day since I like started my YouTube channel, which was 2017.
But you make it funny. So it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think with podcasting I don't know. It's just really saturated, but honestly, all of social media is really saturated now.
Yeah.
So, how are you adapting though?
adapting to what my paranoia. I'm not. Just, no. I spiral.
Just like, I mean, because so much has changed since 2017. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, way more people are doing podcasts. Now, I feel like video podcasting is just so prominent. Even on YouTube, like, you don't really see people vlogging anymore. Like, people either have really, really long form podcasts or like these insane videos where it's like, it attracts people that watch TikTok. So it's like, you need to have bright flashing lights for 10 minutes. So I guess, like, how have you adapted since 2017 with the pod?
I haven't. This is so bad. I have stuck with what I feel I'm good at and what interests me. So I'm not on TikTok. I don't do reels. I am very overwhelmed by anything video related unless someone else is doing it for me. But I also am not going to respond to that email from that person who's like, I could do this for you. So that's never going to happen. So I kind of feel like I hate to be someone who's like, I stay in my lane. But I think as media has evolved, I have stuck with what works for me, which is the podcast is the core. I like to post pictures on Instagram. I just launched a newsletter in November because I missed writing and I didn't feel like writing on my blog because I don't really use my website. And honestly, there's like bugs on there that I don't know how to fix. And so I was like, I'll just start something new. So now I have the newsletter as another creative outlet. And I am just doing what interests me and knowing that I have a really awesome and loyal community that is engaged and is really kind and really fun and really excited to be here. And I'm not trying to do everything. I'm not trying to be everything to everyone anymore. I used to try that, but I can't do all the things. Like I went through a long phase where I was like, I should be on TikTok. I should be on TikTok. I should figure out reels. I should just do this. But I'm just like, I don't want to. Like, I'm not someone who's going to videotape. That's not even a word anymore. Like, I'm not going to see how old I am. I'm not going to like prop my phone up in a tree and put it on video mode and run by it like it's not there and then put inspirational words or voiceovers over it. That's fine that lots of people are doing that. It's just not me. And if my core, my like one biggest core value is authenticity, I'm not going to do things just because an algorithm wants them. So
that's nice.
Watch me fade into obscurity.
No, you're not. Like, see, you keep growing and stuff. So obviously what you're doing works. I just feel like it's hard to kind of throw up that white flag or whatever it is, whatever that term is, where it's like you just in your own head, like it's not even like it makes no sense rationally because it's like just make the decision not to do it and move on or whatever. But it's just like the constant nagging in my head that I need to do more. Like I need to start doing better video podcasts. I need to get a freaking podcast studio and like start recording them, putting on TikTok and YouTube and stuff or whatever. And I had a similar thing with my food Instagram that I had for the last, like since I started my YouTube channel. So it was like 5 years running, whatever. I just hit a point where I was like, I don't really want to do this anymore, like at all. And so I for 6 months, it was kind of like back and forth, like just like tugging in my head that I like should keep doing it, whatever. But the most freeing thing I did was in my head just decide I'm not going to do this anymore and throw up the white flag. And it was the best thing I think I did for my own mental sanity. Just seems like such a small thing. And it's just like a little switch in my head, but it was so freeing. So I think to have that confidence in yourself and like, I don't know, just knowing that what you do like works and just try not to think about the changing landscape or whatever and trusting that things work out. I feel like that's a really good trait to have. So,
well, and let's go back to what we talked about however many minutes ago. You asked if I ever get burnt out. I would if I were forcing it.
Yeah.
If I were forcing myself to do reels, if I were forcing myself to go run by my phone 18 times until the self timer got me in the perfect not down step, I would probably be really burnt out. But I think by staying focused on what you genuinely enjoy, that's why we work for ourselves, right? If we worked for someone else, we would have bosses being like, no, but you have to do this. And here's why. That's the beauty of working for yourself. And you can always go back. Like you can always, if you're like, you know what? I really miss creating recipes. You can do that. You're in charge.
Yeah. That is the very big pro of our career path. So
huge privilege to be able to do this. For sure.
Okay. I'm curious, like for someone that is looking to start a podcast, because obviously like this day and age, I mean, you say you're not on TikTok, but like I am on TikTok and everyone's starting a podcast. And that's like a joke. It's like some people like should not be starting podcasts, you know, but what would be your advice for someone that wanted to start a podcast? I guess like in the running world too, because it's still kind of like a small niche. So there's definitely room for people. What would be your advice?
Why do you want to start one? Is it because you want access to pros and you want to talk to them? Or is it because you see something missing from the running podcast space? I feel like so often I'll see someone be like, I started this thing, whether it's a podcast, a magazine, a website, whatever. They're like, because no one was talking about X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, okay, a quick search. Everyone's talking about this. Like, I think you have to do your research. Yeah. I think it's great to have an idea and be impulsive. It's great to start something. I talked, like you said too, I talked about launching a podcast for a year before I actually did it. Like, I sat on this idea for a very long time. So I think it's great. Be impulsive, start the thing and work on getting it better over time, but do your research too. Yeah. What makes you different? What sets you apart? What's the show about? Can you commit to being consistent with it? Yeah. If you want to have a successful show, you have to show up for your audience. They have to know that they're going to hear from you. You have to be dependable. And that can be once a month or once a week or every day. Doesn't matter. But communicate to your audience when they're going to hear from you and follow through on that. I think that's a big one. And that's hard to do. And that's why it can also be great. Do seasons of your podcast. If doing it every week is a lot, have seasons and give yourself built-in breaks in between. That's a beautiful thing. Rejuvenate creatively. You need that step back. And I think it all comes down to authenticity. Show up as yourself and you'll find your people. I think if you're forcing yourself to be like someone else or to be really different from someone else, that's maybe not the best goal. I think the best goal is showing up as your best self and working on that and focusing on that instead of like, oh man, like Emma's so funny. I should be funnier because I should be like Emma. Like Emma does those dances that I really like. I feel like I always respond to your Instagram stories of you dancing in your kitchen. It's like my favorite thing.
A lot of people like get just like comment on those.
That's the content.
Like, people actually watch those, which is kind of cringe of me. Like, I don't even know why I post them. I just do.
Because you're funny. Because you're just naturally funny. Like, that's what I love is I'm just like, you're just like being funny. And I wish I knew what the dance was called, but I can picture it. You were like shuffling your little feet. And it made
me
mean,
there's
so
a lot
much.
Of like random ones that I just hit, yeah. You know, to that music. Hey.
Yeah. I love it. But that's the thing, right? Like if I tried to do that, I would just look so stupid and it wouldn't be funny. It would be try hard and it would be cringy, but like, that's a you thing that you do well and is funny and is authentic and is real. And you know, we're past the point of the internet being this perfectly curated place. No one wants that. People can sniff out BS in a second. Just keep it fun and be you and do your research.
Yeah, I fully agree with all that. I would say consistency is a huge one, which I think people think that podcasting is, I don't know, maybe just, I don't think people realize like how time consuming it can be. Like how difficult it kind of is to put out an episode. I don't know, every week, like every month would definitely be a lot more doable, but like every week I think is the norm. Yeah. So I know a lot of people start podcasts and then they give up pretty soon after because they realize that like it's hard to find a guest or whatever for every week and like edit and stuff. Especially when you're not making money, like it just is a big time consuming thing, which I'm glad I did it when I was like already self-employed because then it's like, I wasn't really worried about the money element and it was during COVID. Yep. So that's why people started during COVID because you had time. But yeah, I think the uniqueness factor is definitely like a huge one, especially now, like with just, it's more saturated in terms of just podcasting on the internet. Yeah. Like, especially, I don't know, running podcasts, like it can be kind of boring a lot of the time. Cause like, if you're just asking about people's times and training, like that just like gets boring after a while.
And respect the guest.
Yeah. Like,
so many of these pros, they're amazing for giving their time, but like, I have to imagine that a lot of them are a little burnt out on going on podcasts. It's a lot.
And especially after like someone does well, I almost feel bad asking them to come on where I'm just like, I'm really sorry, but like, will you come on my podcast? Oh, yeah. I promise it'll be a kind of interesting. We don't have to talk about your world medal. Really.
I promise it'll be fun. And then I'm like, okay, the question no one's asking, where do you keep your Olympic medal? And they're like, for the 90th time this week, here's where I keep it. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's room to tell a lot of the untold stories in running. So, you know, there's room. I love hearing about new podcasts. I'm all for it. I cheer it on. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, I think I got lucky, like, because you say do your research, and I fully agree with that. I don't think I really did my research at all.
No, me neither.
I think I was really banking just on, like, because I already had the following from YouTube and stuff. I was like, people just come from there or whatever. But I think I'm just like very grateful because I think I already just had an into the elite running world, which made it way easier to build my podcast on because it's like I already had personal relationships with all these people. So it's like I already had that, I don't know, untapped like personalities of these people that I could that sounds so bad. I could capitalize on.
That's but very like, real.
Yeah, I mean, just like showcasing that and stuff. And honestly, that's like one of the harder things I've had to navigate over the years is like I don't want to have my friends on the podcast that often or whatever, or like I would never, when I was like living in Portland especially, like I had like a lot of pro runner friends, it's like I wasn't shoving my YouTube camera in their face all the time because it's like I don't want them to think that I'm only friends with them just because I like have a YouTube channel or like and I want to put them on, I don't know, I don't want to monetize my friendships. That sounds horrible.
No, so I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah, so it's like a very like odd thing to navigate and it's been kind of difficult for me, but I don't know, I think I've gotten like better at it and I think people realize that I'm not trying to make money off of them. So
you're doing great.
I don't know why I like talk myself down a lot too, but that's just like a more of a struggle I've had to deal with. That's just like a very weird one, but we all have our struggles, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but this year I was between therapists.
Were you?
We all have our struggles.
I saw that in your one-star reviews when I was like sorting through it.
When you needed a pep talk?
Yeah.
People are going to go do that now. This is bad. Because I said that, how many people listening to this are like, I'm going to go read Allie's one-star reviews. If you did that, if you're listening and you did that, will you leave a five-star review to balance it out?
Yeah, that is the total. Like, you have to buy a ticket and then the ticket to do that is a five-star review. And you have to leave a little comment saying, I love you so much, Emma and Allie.
Yes, and then head over to Emma's. Okay, yes, I love this. Look at how we just turned something silly and negative into something beautiful.
Into something that we can benefit from.
Exactly. Profit off of.
Okay, we don't profit off of reviews, all right?
No, but they help.
They do help. It's podcasting is weird because it's like you don't really get comments from the podcast. Like,
yeah.
So the only thing that I see really is reviews. And like my podcast, Instagram, whatever, like sometimes I get comments on the photos, but like, I don't know, for the thousands and thousands of listens I get, it's like you don't really get that much feedback out of it.
Yeah. That's why I love DMs. Like I don't because I mean I'm not great at them, but that's the best, that people take the time, whether they're sharing an episode or sending a message that's like, hey, I love this, or something that resonated with them. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
The best is when it's an episode that you don't think much of. Like it's good. It's a great conversation. And someone's like, this is my all-time favorite episode you've done. I'm like, why? That's so interesting to me. And I love that. And it's a good reminder that something will resonate with someone. I used to beat myself up because for a long time I was like, every episode has to be better than the last, every guest bigger than the one before. And it's like, that is not sustainable. Yeah. That is not a good idea. So something will always resonate.
Yeah, that is very true. I feel like that's just a creative struggle that a lot of people have. You see that with social media too, with YouTube videos, especially where it's like, if your video isn't bigger than the last one, then you're a failure, you know? So
yeah,
that's just part of the creative work environment, I think.
Yeah.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, so but I do have like a few hot takes that we can go over. Do like
I'm so up. Nervous.
They're not that bad. Honestly, I wish people asked, like, people need to be more savage, I think. But yeah. Runners are just too nice. I'm like, let's be a little mean. Nice. Let's stir the pot a little bit. Not really me though, because I run away from controversy. Like, same. I don't want to be involved, you know? So whatever. These are not that bad. What has been, well, I guess we kind of already answered this. The best guest in terms of like interview skills. Like, can you tell that someone's like been on a lot of podcasts?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Especially with the pros, bless their hearts. They do so many that especially after a big race, they're talking in sound bites. They've answered these questions. Even if you think your question's different, they're answering in sound bites. Okay. I will say my favorite recent interview I did, because it was so fun. Like, we talked for almost 2 hours, was Ellie Kemper, who's from The Office. And she's Kimmy Schmidt from The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. She ran the New York City Marathon and we had so much fun. Like, that to me is my favorite, probably of 2023 so far. It's probably my favorite.
That is such a cool guest.
It was awesome. It was so fun.
Dude, I need to branch out. I like truly need to branch out. I think like I just need to start shooting my shot more of like getting guests like that, because I've not really, that's one thing for my podcast. Like, I've not really done a very good job of like getting out of my comfort zone in terms of like pitching the podcast to people. Like, I just really, I don't know, my network. I'm just like, all right, who wants to come on?
Tap it.
I know, and I can DM really quick and they answer and they say, yeah, I'll come on tomorrow.
Which sometimes you need. Sometimes you definitely need those.
Yeah.
I do the same.
Yeah, exactly. You need those people. But I think it's cool that you're like able to do that. Cause like, I don't know. You never know
who will say yes.
Yeah. People will say yes. That's cool.
Especially someone like that, Ellie Kemper, who is incredibly well known, but no one asks her about running. They ask her about being famous or being a mom. She was just so excited to get to talk about running for an hour and a half. And it was evident. Like, she was just like, oh my God. So fueling, like, you know, how when you do long runs, you have to like fuel. Let's talk about fueling. I have questions. Like, she was a dream. I had such a blast with her. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone said this one has the worst guest.
Oh, I can't answer that. You know, I'm not going to answer that. While we're recording.
While we're recording.
I have an open book. So there are a couple different things that can make someone not an ideal guest. That does not mean they are a bad person. But from a podcaster's point of view, the biggest one is going to be technology. If I can't hear them, if the sound quality is not great, if they're like trying to drive while we're talking, that right away.
Has that happened? Someone's driving?
Yeah, but then they pulled over, which was also weird. But so technology for me is going to be the biggest factor of like, I'm just going to be distracted as a host if the technology isn't cooperating. People are never rude. People are never like standoffish. I've had people who've been on the show who have been a little bit arrogant. Again, that doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means I know that what they are saying is not going to resonate with my audience. And there's only so much I can push back, because am I going to question your life values? Like, yeah, not really.
Like, in terms of that, or like some personality that maybe, or like opinions that you don't really agree with, it's like, you kind of just have to sit back and listen and like, not really like counter them.
Which is hard. Yeah. It's a hard line to walk, and it's one I'm trying to be better about. And someone did send me that feedback on this year's listener survey, and I appreciated it. They were like, I feel like you can push back a little bit. Like, you're smart and you're savvy. It's okay if you don't agree with someone to push back a little bit. And I'm like, okay, oh my gosh, I'll do best. But like, I'll sandwich it between compliments.
Yeah.
But I do need to be better about that. And I want to be like, it's okay to challenge people's ideas. It's not rude or disrespectful. It's a dialogue. It's a conversation. I'm not here just to butter someone up with compliments. So that's feedback I took to heart. I've had people be arrogant and rude. I won't name names, but I will say that I did a live show last year in New York City with two guests. One of them, absolute dream. Love, love, love her. The other guest was rude. The entire audience felt it. I felt it. The other guest was like did a great job rolling with it, but it was not good. It was not fun in a live show format. And that I was just like, can you just leave? Like, I don't know what's going on right now. It was someone I'd had on the show before and had a really great conversation with. So I was like, this will be fun for a live show. Like, you're fun. You seem really like a good time. And just wasn't. And I don't know what happened.
Maybe a bad day.
Maybe a bad day. Maybe like, I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was a bummer. And okay, they're not a bad person. I won't have them on the show again. And that's fine. So yeah, I think that's the bigger thing is every now and then there's just someone that I know either I know isn't going to resonate with my audience or that I personally just kind of don't like. And that happens. I've done more than 600 episodes. I'm not going to like everyone.
Yeah.
Just like fair. Not everyone's going to like me. But yeah. I wish they did.
But I wish they did. We all
five stars. Five stars.
Have you ever not put out an episode like after recording?
Yeah.
Is that awkward though? Because then it's like, oh, sorry, yes. We're not going to put out your episode.
I haven't done that in a very long time. But there's certain reasons. Like when I was first starting out, I recorded episodes with people where just the technology was bad because I didn't really know what I was doing or it just didn't work out. So yeah, I've had a few, not many, maybe five total in 6 years of doing this that I didn't put out. And the funny thing is I know at least three of them then I did have on the show later. Okay. And so it wasn't personal. It was like technology. It happens.
That's not bad then. Technology is like a little different. Like technological issues is different than like, I don't know, something that's like too juicy or like something.
Oh no, too juicy. I'll take that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is hard when like, if you have a conversation and you're just like, wait, I don't like you, or this isn't good, or this isn't interesting. Like that's something I struggle. Like not everyone's a great speaker. Some people just come across as kind of dry. That doesn't mean they're not cool. Doesn't mean their story isn't compelling. They're just not always great at telling it. And that's okay. Some people are quiet and shy and that just doesn't translate to podcasts.
Yeah.
That's fine. Not every episode's the best one ever.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think most of my episodes are like solid or whatever. Like the conversation flows pretty easily. There have been some where it's like more like, it's like yes or no answers sometimes. Not really like to that extent where someone's just like, yes, you know, but it's like one word, like one sentence.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. All right, give me a little more. Give me a little more.
Yeah. Like, tell me a story, please.
But that's like our job too, as podcasters, to like try to get that out of them or like make them feel comfortable enough to like talk about it. So
exactly,
it like falls back on us a little bit. I think it just makes it easier when someone like you and I are podcasting together. It's like I know that you do podcasts, so you know exactly like what a podcast entails.
Yeah, yeah, we know what we're working with.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Okay. Something that would surprise you about the elite running world that you've seen.
Something that has surprised me.
Yeah. Or that would surprise like normal people that like aren't ingrained, I guess, into like, I don't know.
It's not that exciting. I think the biggest thing is like most of these pros, and I love them to death, but I always ask like, what's a day in the life like? And it's like, I wake up whenever I have breakfast, I go for a run, I sit down, and then I go for my double. Like it's not a glamorous lifestyle. I think that's like the biggest thing is that I also think the pros are a lot less neurotic than the everyday runner.
You really think so?
In some ways, I think that the everyday runner has found more ways to complicate running than professional runners. I think professional runners, for the most part, are pretty dialed in and they listen to their coaches and they execute. Whereas the everyday runner, I think it's so bogged down in the gear and in the stuff. Like you go to any local 5K and people have camelbacks and they're wearing super shoes and they've got their watches. And it's like, let's just run. And again, I'm all for doing what works for you. I'm not judging those people. I'm not like, oh my God, look at you. You look silly. Like, dude, do what makes you happy. I don't care. I just mean that we've found a lot of ways to make it harder on ourselves in the pursuit of making it better. The Normatex, the blood tests, the like all the things that are there to help us. It's just running.
I mean, I think I get it though. Like I get, because the elite runners, like we've been in it for a while, you know, we have, and there's just coaches that will tell you exactly what you need to hear. Like the best coaches in the world will tell you exactly what you need to do, whatever. You don't have to think about it. The everyday runner, if you're getting into running, like I would be so incredibly overwhelmed if I started running day one. If you look up on the internet, how to train for a 5K, all the different stuff that you get on there. Like, and then people tell you that you need like fuel during the 5K and stuff. Like, there's just like so many like different opinions. Like, I get it why it's just so people intimidating. Intimidating. I would do it too. I would have no idea what to do. So I think it's just like,
I've been coaching. I am that person. Like, I was the same way.
Yeah.
My roommate's like, all you need is shoes. And I'm like, okay. So I went to the running store. Turns out I actually need a GPS watch. And then I'm going to have to upgrade to the new one next year. I need the best headphones. I need compression socks, which are different than compression sleeves. Like, there's so much stuff that I think is designed to help us be the best, when ultimately running is a pretty simple thing. And
it's
sometimes
really
boring, honestly,
like how to get good at running is really boring.
run faster sometimes and run
faster
easy,
sometimes
like
and run
the time.
Run a decent amount of miles and take and recover and eat well and sleep well, and that's basically it. And like, even like pro runner workouts, it's like, it's never, or like training regimen, I'm like, it's never really that different at the end of the day.
It's just more of it.
Yeah, exactly, more of it, and you're just more recovery time, and that's exactly what it is.
Running industrial complex is, you know, it's good. But
I think pro runners are a lot more normal than people. Like,
yeah, they're just people.
Yeah, they're not really like superhuman. I think they just like, no, they're just like talented, and they know what they're doing. And they've been
and a lot of them never wanted to be famous or Instagram influencers. They just wanted to run fast.
Well, I would say most of them, because I don't think people are getting it. I don't think people are running like 80 miles a week to be Instagram famous, because you're not going to get very far doing that.
Yeah. Well, maybe Colleen Quigley.
I think people are like, there's people that like go viral for like running every day for 5,000 days in a row. So it's like, there's ways to do it now, but
yeah, to each their own.
Yeah. I don't think that would be the way. I don't think I would, if my goal was to be Instagram famous, I would not start in the running niche.
No. What would you start in?
Challenge videos on YouTube or TikTok would be my go-to, but I have no desire to do any of that.
Will you do one just for me?
What one do you want me to do?
I don't know. I'm not on TikTok, so I don't have any examples.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's so many challenge type of videos, or like just things that like go insane. Like, you see, you know, Mr. Beast is? No?
Only from hearing you reference them, which I think was during your episode with Lydia. And I was like, I have no idea. Dude, I tried to listen to your episode with Matt Wisner, and I was like, they're speaking another language. Like, I am so out of touch with the youth. Like, I literally don't even know. I don't know what you're referencing. I don't know what you're talking about. I feel, and I am not old. I'm not one of those people who's like, ugh, I'm 37. I'm so old. I love being 37. That one I did. I was like, am I old? Am I an old soul?
I'm giving you credit though, because I feel like I'm in a very, very like middle ground between the older generation, which are like a lot of my personal friends, whatever, people I like ran with in college and stuff. Like, I would say like upper 20s, like up like 25 to
upper
20s
is older. I'm dying.
Well, okay, well, I will, whatever.
It's all relative. Like, it's fine. It's fine.
It's all relative. Fine. I would say like 25 to 40 year olds. It's like I can kind of relate, because I don't know. I'm old enough, and I kind of grew up in the generation without social media, where it's like, I kind of understand the references, whatever. But then I also like, I'm in this like, weird middle ground where, since, especially because of my job, I'm so tapped into like social media, Gen Z culture, that I feel like I can relate to both parties. And I will say though, it was a little bit of a learning curve to like, and I feel like I really have to be tapped into social media to understand Gen Z stuff. So it's like, if you're not tapped into social media and you don't care about it, you're not going to have any idea what people are talking about. Yeah. And like, when I went to running camp with like the new gen guys, like Matt Wisner and all of them, like, and I was hanging out with a bunch of high schoolers, whatever, I felt old, because there was something, it was the first time in my life where I felt like there was some things I didn't understand. And I was like, but I also refused to let myself not understand. So then I just fully engulfed myself into Gen Z culture. So I was telling them like after that trip, I was like, I honestly like truly think I was meant to be born in like the year 2000, because I was born in 1996. And I think that was just like a little too old for my personality and like what I do for work. And I feel like I really relate to that age demographic a lot. And I love their sense of humor. So I think that's why, like, but I just have to work at it. You know, I have to tap in.
I have to work at my youth.
I do, because I don't want to be the person that doesn't understand things. Like, no offense to you, but that makes sense. Like, you're a mom.
Own it.
Yeah, but like,
I'm a mom. I am officially uncool.
No, you're not uncool. It's just a different demographic. You know, it's like, I am a single woman that's in her mid-20s, it's like I can go either way, but I'm not quite ready to like be a homebody at this moment in time of like, I don't know, I just love social media too much where it's like I need to stay on top of it.
I love that for you. Keep it up and I'll learn from you. I'm like, I have no idea what she's saying.
Maybe the Matt Wisner
sounds
episode,
great.
The Matt Wisner episode was like maybe a little too advanced. And sometimes Matt is a little too
Ready for it. I wasn't ready for it. You know?
That's okay. Well, you know, I'll just my references maybe on my Instagram stories and stuff. Well, like I'll keep you in the loop. Stuff.
Thank you. Just create a glossary of terms that I need to understand. That'd be great. Thank you so much.
Do you know what the term Riz means?
No.
Have you been seeing that at all on the internet?
Yeah.
Okay. What does it mean? Do you know?
Nikki Hiltz posted about it, I think. They keep me young. No, I don't remember. Okay, Emma, but I feel like I saw it in New York Magazine, and that's where I get my Gen Z news.
Okay. from a magazine?
Yeah, they used to be printed, but now I read it online. I pay $5 a month to support journalism. What does it mean?
As you should. Riz means like game.
Like you've got game or like
I'm going to a game. Like I got Riz.
And people say that seriously? Or is it a joke?
I think everyone kind of knows that it's like...
Is it like chuggy?
No, like, I don't even know how to... Chuggy has always been a weird word for me. Like, I don't really know how to describe it. Like Riz, like, people know it's, like, stupid to say. But it's just so funny because it caught on.
Imagine me saying it. Imagine me being like, Emma Coburn, thank you so much. Welcome to the Ally on the Run show. Girl, you've got Riz.
Yeah, see that... Like, see, it has to be...
Can't
like,
pull it off.
So Gen Z... That I don't really feel like I can pull it off that well, but I still say it sometimes just because like I know that it's like so corny. Like,
yeah, but you can pull that off.
Yeah, that's exactly. Like so thing. I just do it in a way where it's like I know that I'm like old fart and I should not be saying the word Riz. But then
I'm
it's like
spiral
funny
after
like,
this conversation. this is gonna be my spiral. Is I'm just like I'm irrelevant.
You're not irrelevant. You're not irrelevant. You have a good demographic of people. I honestly don't recommend tapping into Gen Z. It's so overwhelming and it's way too fast paced. Like the word Riz is going to be extinct in 6 months. So
oh my gosh. At the end of the year, when everyone was posting their like year end reels, I was like, they're too fast. I can't even see all your pictures. Like it's moving too fast.
See, that's what I mean. I don't recommend you try to tap into it. It's too overwhelming. No,
I will leave that to you. And you just let me know if there's like terms that I need to know.
Okay. Riz is a good one. Like you'll see it maybe more often now. It's like that effect where it's like if you hear it once or you talk about it or whatever, you see it everywhere. So
I'm going to send it to you every time I see it.
Yeah. I tweeted one time that for Halloween, I'm going to be the Rizard of Oz. Because that's like what other people like. Then they like turn it into something. They're like, oh, I'm a Rizard. Like, or like some dude at like Nike Cross Nationals called himself the Rizard, which I thought was really funny. And then
that's clever.
Yeah. There's just like Rizards of Waverly Place. Like there's just like people like just like to, you know, play on words.
Wordplay. I respect wordplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Here for it.
It's all TikTok stuff. Like, yeah.
It's I'm doing my best.
You're doing great. Oh gosh. Okay. I think I kind of like answered all of them. Except for you didn't answer specifically the worst guest, but I get it, you know.
But also there... pass.
Yeah, don't. Honestly, I would never answer that. So I just nice. Like to put people on the spot, you know, and then run away if there's.
Yeah, stories. we're trying to be salty and we can't even do it.
No, exactly. We're not mean. We're too civil. maybe that's what the running world needs, though, is like a little bit more people stirring the pot.
Oh my gosh, I've been loving all of the sprinters just like trash talking each other. Like I am here for it. It's fun to watch.
Oh, okay. Wait, one question. Like, what do you think the running world needs more of? Because like, obviously still very small sport. Like, what do you think we need more of?
Okay. So when you say running world, do we mean the sport and the running industry? Like, are we talking about the pros or are we talking about the running community and like the everyday runner who, you know, and running half marathons and 10Ks and 5Ks?
I hate that they're even separated. Like I fish.
Well, and either way, I don't have an answer. I'm just trying to buy time.
Trying to think of what. I mean, I think especially like for pro running, like because it just is still so small and I'm obviously like passionate about it because I have a lot of friends that are in it, whatever. And I think that there's a lot of cool personalities and I wish that there was more money in it. Like, what do you think that people, like, what do you think the sport needs more of? Like, is it the media stuff?
Storytelling. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, I think a lot of people are doing a really great job in a lot of different ways. Like New Gen is tapping into their demographic and doing a great job with storytelling. Sidious is doing a great job with storytelling, with sharing everything from workout videos to post-race live shows. I love all of that. And I think that's the key to bridging that gap between the everyday runner and the pros is, and that's something I think about a lot with the show is that's not my ultimate goal, but the greatest compliments that I got at one point in my career were in 2020 when people came up to me in Atlanta and were like, Allie, I never cared about professional running. I'm here at the marathon trials in Atlanta as a girls' trip because we feel like we know so many people running. Like they didn't actually know anyone, but they'd heard them on the show. And that to me was like so cool. Yeah. That was such like, that wasn't something I was trying to do, but it had an impact. And so I think that's awesome. I love seeing people do more of that. I think you do an amazing job of that. And the more we can just share these stories, the better. We, once we get onto those main feed broadcasts, which they do a great job, and I really respect the people involved in those, both behind the scenes and on screen, but we tend to hear a lot of the same stories because they're trying to appeal to new viewers. And a new viewer who's flipping through the channels is going to be compelled to hear that Ellie Puryear St. Pierre grew up on a farm.
One example of like the overtold story in the running world. I think that, I mean, it's cool.
And yeah. But and Allison Felix is a mom. I don't know if you knew this. and those are great stories, but the super fans could tell those stories at this point. Like, we know that. Give us more. And I know that broadcasts work within certain constraints. They have a big audience to appeal to. So any way that we can bridge that gap, which I think a lot of us are trying to do. So
yeah, I think like you said, it's like, it's not like our main goal. Selfishly, I just like enjoy hearing people's stories. So like, I feel like that's why I do what I do, but it is like a nice little, I don't know, thing for the running world. That it's like people get to know other people, which is exciting. And since I'm involved in it, whatever, it's cool. Like, I want all my friends to be able to like make more money, and maybe they don't want to be famous. I feel like none of my friends are running, like you said, to be famous really. But you know, to get a bigger paycheck, I think we all wish that for our friends. So
hell yeah. And to just feel supported, especially on race day, no matter how the race goes, right? Yeah. Like, we're not just cheering for the runner who runs. And I feel like we see a lot of that where we see a runner that we all love go out and not have the best race ever. I remember Des Linden after New York City Marathon in the fall was like, her post after was like, well, that was embarrassing because she had led the race for a bit early on and then didn't ultimately have the race that she wanted. And it's just like, dude, we love you. Like, we support you. And I know that for you, obviously, as a professional runner, the stakes are high. There's many reasons that you wanted to have a different result. But from a fan perspective, I want those pros to feel supported and loved, whether they have the best day, whether they're Des Linden or they're Allie Cash or they're Nikki Hiltz or they're Ellie Puryear, like St. Pierre, I'm working on that. I just want them to feel that support.
Yeah, I agree. And I think media does a good job of that. It's like building that connection with people beyond the performance. And so having support is nice for these people.
We're all just super fans. We all just like love it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
good place to be.
Okay. The last I asked is, well, I mean, you listen to the show, but I always ask people like advice to their younger self. So what's your advice to your younger self?
There are so many places I could take this one. The first place my mind goes is because I was a young dancer. I had a lot of body issues from a young age. I remember being in like second grade and thinking I was fat and calling myself that. And I have a daughter now, so it's even hard for me to say that about my past self, thinking that that could be her someday. And so to my past Allie, I would say embrace your inner you. There's going to come a day when a boy that you are in love with is going to tell you you're too silly and you're going to listen to him and you're going to try to be serious. I'm going to tell you, just ignore that. Okay. Like, be silly and be you, because you have a lot to offer this world, I think. And be kinder to yourself, but that's still something I'm working on. I've gotten past the body stuff, which is good, but I am still really hard on myself. And so maybe if I told younger Allie that, then Allie now would be better at it, start it from a younger age. And not to downplay whatever young Allie was stressed about, but like, it's probably not that bad. It's probably not worth losing sleep over. Like,
hey,
it's
you're here
fine.
Now. So and, everyone and, gets to the other side, you know?
Yeah. And like, Allie, no one's going to ask you about your GPA. So chill. Like, no one cares. No one's ever asked me what my GPA was in high school or college. I offer it up because I'm, you know, obnoxious about it. But
what was your GPA?
Okay. Thank you so much for asking. Okay. So I graduated with a 3.86 from college, which was significantly lower than what I wanted. I was magna cum laude, but I wanted to be summa cum laude, but I was a Spanish minor and I really struggled. I took Shakespeare in Spanish and that was really hard. And that really affected my average.
Ew. That sounds.
Yeah. Don't recommend. Like, why does that exist?
Yeah. Why does that exist? Like, truly.
Or why did I sign up for it, I guess? I'm not saying people shouldn't read texts in all languages. That's a beautiful thing.
Challenge.
But what was I doing?
Yeah.
What was I hoping to do with that in life? So anyway, I did my best.
It's all right. That's a pretty good GPA. So I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, people probably already listen to your podcast and stuff, but where can people check it out? What's it called? What's your Instagram? Give us the
I'm everywhere. I can't avoid me. Allie on the Run Show is the podcast on all major podcasting platforms. Give Emma Convos Over Cold Brew 5 stars and then head over to the Allie on the Run Show 5 stars. Do your thing, work your magic. Allie on the Run 1 on Instagram and Twitter. I have a Facebook group, which is the nicest little corner of the internet. Everyone in there is amazing. It's called the Allie on the Run Show Best Running Friends Facebook group. My newsletter is allieontherun.substack.com. I'm everywhere. Come hang out with me. And I'm hopefully announcing at a race near you sometime soon.
Love that. I know. I also don't really watch broadcasts, like running broadcasts. So I need to tune in. When's your next like announcing gig?
This weekend, I'm going to Atlanta. So I will be in Atlanta this weekend. I'm actually not announcing, but I will be on the broadcast. Atlanta Track Club is producing their own broadcast starting this year, which is really cool. Atlanta Track Club is doing some really amazing and exciting things. So I'm excited to head down there. They are taking a chance on me, a relative newbie to live television. And I will be doing sideline and finish line commentary. So that'll be fun. Carrie Tolleson and Chris Chavez in the booth doing all the hard work and I'm doing the fun stuff on the sidelines. So that'll be really fun.
Hey, no, your stuff is hard. I've done post-race interviews and they're like difficult.
Oh, they're fun. Oh my gosh. I love it so much.
It's that's definitely like my favorite thing different. To do. It's definitely different than like podcasting. Cause everything is very fast paced, you know?
Yeah. And you a lot of improv. Bad. The runners are like barfing and you're like, how did you feel out there?
Up in the mic? Like,
yeah.
And there's like, can I get a minute in your ears too? Like, it's just a lot. It's chaotic.
Okay. I hate an earpiece. I hate the earpiece. We could do a whole separate thing just on that topic. I feel like,
yeah, I know. I'm sad because this has gone on for like 90 minutes and I feel like,
sorry,
it was great. I feel like there's just untapped stuff. So you'll have to come on again and we can chat further.
That would be so res.
So res. Oh my God. And that's not even how you use it. Okay. You know what? In the next episode when you come on, I'll give you a lesson. That would actually be a good segment. I'll give you a lesson on like
games. No! That's so embarrassing for me.
Hey, okay. I didn't ask you that many hot takes. So I feel like, you know, we got to carry that into the next episode.
You're very kind.
Yeah. Okay. Well, to close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Oh my gosh. I've been ready for this the whole time. Peace out, fellas.
Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Combos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. Like Allie said, don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Helps me out so much. And I love reading your guys' reviews, as I said, in this podcast. But seriously, they like make my day and they really help out. Also, follow us on Instagram at Combos Over Cold Brew Pod if you want to be up to date on the latest episodes and submit listener questions. Thank you all so much for listening and I will catch you all next week. Peace out, fellas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.